This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Hello, and welcome to The Third Age with the Doctor and the Man from Hollywood. I'm David Debbin, the Man from Hollywood. The Doctor, as you know by now, is Peter Brill, M.D., which stands for Medical Doctor. On this show, we turn the myths of aging upside down. We sort out the scientific and the trendy, the medical and the cultural, and we will tell you everything you need to know about living in the Third Age. Remember, we guarantee if you listen to us, you will never grow old.
And I'm the Doctor, Dr. Peter Brill. The Third Age starts somewhere around 45 or 50. It's a time when you start to feel a stronger desire for deeper meaning and fulfillment in your life. Your first age is childhood. Your second age is building career and family. The Third Age is a major change or transition to a whole new set of problems, values, opportunities, and gratifications. So join us as fellow explorers in this journey to discover what brings passion, purpose, and joy into this uncharted time of life.
Anyway, speaking of this period of life, many are the paths of life, as you know. Many are the challenges, and along the way, we make choices about how we can be happy, esteemed by others, and get what we want. Now, each path and each choice has rewards, and it has costs. As we get into the third age, we begin to understand so much more about life that the accumulated costs begin to haunt and hinder us. Our author today, Susan Schachterly, has given her book about women's paths through life a title. And it's a title that might scare you or put you off, but it's actually pretty tantalizing. The book is called The Bitch, the Crone, and the Harlot. Are we allowed to say that on the air? Oh, great. The Bitch, the Crone. You can keep saying it over and over. The Bitch, the Crone, and the Harlot by Susan Schachterly. It's full of great wisdom about how the choices women made earlier in their lives need to be remade in the third age. Don't wander away from the path of our show, or you may get lost in the forest of the bitches, the crones, and the harlots.
My wife,
we loved the title from the first moment.
I know, we did. It was fabulous.
It's got to be a bestseller. It's got to be a bestseller. We're going to do everything we can to make
that come true.
That's right.
But it's actually, not to stay on the book too long, because we don't usually do that in this section, but the core points of the book are really very, very good. We're beginning to think in entire lifetimes now. You know, the past of somebody for what the Greeks used to do it in terms of the Greek tragedies. You know, someone would have a flaw at one point in their life, and it would end up in the end point of their life causing their life to be tragic. And we have the ability to correct for that now in our lives. We can go part way, realize what we need to change, and change direction. And I think the beauty of
that's called flip-flopping, isn't it?
No, David, we promise not to talk about politics today.
Oh, okay. All right. But you're right about that. It also, in some ways, works with our philosophy of not backing down. You know, you can go along a path, and if it's the wrong path, you can change your mind and make an adjustment. But that doesn't mean that you have to back down, that you have to totally turn away from what your dream is or what you wanted to do.
Never. You know, it's interesting. There's recent studies that have been shown about the brain, that new synapses and new cells form in the brain, and we're beginning to understand why longevity is so related to continued growth as you age. Mm-hmm. The actual brain changes in response.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, yeah. So you know what? I saw another one. Go on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead. Well, no. Please don't interrupt in the future.
No, you know, I saw an article yesterday that showed people who were shown computer images of what they would look like when they got older. People who had no idea that they would look so young and youthful because we're all living so much longer changed the way they were saving and working for retirement.
Wow.
How about that?
So it's still worth it to have some money left so you can still play.
Exactly. And speaking of playing, Peter.
Speaking of play.
I have a news story here.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Oh, the chime is back.
The chime of the news story. Well, you know, the people in the third age are really, as we've talked many times, thinking about their legacy that they leave behind.
Oh, absolutely.
And this story comes from us to us from your old stomping grounds, Pennsylvania. A man named Matthew McKnight hopes nobody manages to top his feet in the Guinness Book of World Records. That's because McKnight holds the record for greatest distance thrown in a car accident. How about that for a legacy?
Wait a minute. You know, we really ought to run a contest with
well,
the listeners.
We're going to run some contest.
How many feet was he thrown?
Well, the 50-year-old record holder lived to tell about being thrown 118 feet by a car that hit him while traveling about 70 miles per hour.
Oh, my gosh.
He suffered two dislocated shoulders plus a broken shoulder, pelvis, leg, and tailbone, spent 2 weeks in the hospital and 80 days in rehab. But how it got into the Guinness Book of Records is his emergency room physician submitted paperwork for the record, which Guinness recognized in 2003. So now here's a legacy. Matthew was thrown 118.
I was going to ask you, like, what is the legacy?
The legacy is your grandfather was actually thrown. Look at this book. Here is the Guinness Book of World Records. Your grandfather made the book.
David,
David. What?
I got some news for you, David.
What?
That's not the kind of legacy we're talking about.
Really? I was thinking about going for something like, how many teeth can I lose from a punch in the mouth? I mean, 15 teeth from
a
good
punch. How many teeth are there in your mouth?
15 teeth would be probably get me into the Guinness Book of Records, wouldn't you say? How about how many floors can I fall from a building and live? There must be
a record
for that.
There is a record for
there
that.
There is a record for that? Well, but I could break it. You know.
Or die trying. I'll break it or die trying.
You know, it's important. But on the serious side of it, we have talked about a legacy. Yeah. What do you leave behind? You leave really behind the love that others have for you and that you have for them. That's basically what you leave behind.
Or you leave behind while it may seem like a pebble in the waves, each person passes to the next and the ones that follow the wisdom and accumulated knowledge of life. Think of how society started from a small little band of hunters, became agricultural, and now we have huge society. How did that happen? Each generation passed to the next generation a world in some ways better than it was before. And I understand now we're confused because our success has bred some problems, including the environment and so forth. But the need to pass better to what comes after is still a very deep human need and a very deep societal benefit.
That's great, but there's one person I can think of that missed out on that chain of messages. I won't mention it because we're not talking politics. But but there's one person who definitely missed out on that chain. We have a fabulous guest. Her name is Susan Schachterly. She's the director of the Ahimsa Group, which believes that we have only scratched the surface of the power and possibility inherent in the human mind and heart. Susan has spent over two decades assisting individuals and organizations to find and implement their inherent power, wisdom, and joy. And in her new book, The Bitch, the Crone, and the Harlot, she uses her wisdom to present a compelling new vision of the possibilities for women at midlife. So welcome to the show, Susan Schachterly.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, we're happy you're here, too. What inspired you to write this fabulously named book?
Well, thank you. Several things inspired me. One of them was that as I moved into midlife myself, I realized that people had begun to call me ma'am. And, you know, I had never been ma'am before. Mm-hmm. Ma'am was something you called my mother or my grandmother. Suddenly, people were looking me up and down and then calling me ma'am. And at first, I blew it off. I thought I was just running into a number of folks who were especially polite. But the more people who did that, the more I had to realize that at midlife, things do change, whether we want them to or not. And we really can't resist those changes, but we can learn to use them to our maximum benefit.
Wow.
Another thing that inspired me, if I can just mention one other thing here, is that I have had a counseling practice for about 25 years or so, and I work with both men and women, but primarily with women. And one of the things I have noticed through the years is that a number of women that I have worked with, as they reached midlife, even though they were educated, intelligent, articulate, in many cases very accomplished, that sort of thing, as they began thinking of themselves as middle-aged, they began to change. They began to say things like, well, you know, I'm getting older. I just don't have the energy I used to have. Or I just can't do all the things I used to do. Or it's time for me to move aside and let younger women take over. Or my favorite, well, back in my day, and, you know, when I would hear that one, back in my day, I always said, well, which day was your day? And how come you only got a day? And if you only got a day, what have you been doing with the rest of your life as a vibrant, dynamic human being? And as I began realizing these women were starting to fade into the background of their own lives at the very point in life at which they had more to offer than they had ever had before, it made absolutely no sense.
Can I
and
quote
it was
something?
All based on a perception.
Wow. Can I quote something from your book?
Please.
This becomes even more frustrating at midlife. They're talking about the good girl, the women who try to please and so forth. Mm. At which point we continue to live as good girls. We become invisible, get rolled over by those who consider us a quiet, well-behaved part of the backdrop of life. If we choose to look for respect for being demanding and flexible, we're regarded as prissy older women who must be placated but not taken seriously.
That's right.
What a condemnation of that path, of that way of going forward.
Absolutely right. That way of going forward is indeed a path that leads directly and relentlessly into invisibility and often depression, resentment, bitterness.
And a lot of physical complaints is what I see.
I was going to say a number of physical problems also.
And, you know, they're constantly, a lot of them go to the doctor all the time and so forth. Well, I wanted to talk about, we have two different things to relate to each other and it can get a little confusing. Maybe we should talk about the paths of the three ways out of midlife that you present here.
Okay.
The bitch, the crone, and the harlot. As you present to me, as I read them, they look like to me kind of not necessarily mutually exclusive, but different paths that women can take out of this midlife period. Is that fair?
You know, that's absolutely fair. And the optimal way to move into and through midlife and the second half of life is to incorporate all three of those at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Any life led with focus more on one or two of them than on all three of them is a life out of balance. And so each of them has its own place and has those situations in which it is the absolutely most effective way to address whatever the situation may be. The woman who works on discovering, if you will, each of those three within herself has access to all three of those elements. Tremendous power, profound wisdom, a kind of sensuality that brings with us a depth of awareness that we don't have otherwise. A woman who discovers all three of those within herself has access to those elements at all times.
Why such provocative words to describe them? I mean, when you say bitch, it has normally, for most people, a pejorative meaning. Crone, most people don't know what that means. But harlot has also got that kind of meaning. Why, if a fulfilled third age for a woman is a combination of these three, what are they?
Well, that's an excellent question. Thank you. And might I throw in the fact that I think the people who do know anything about the word crone have applied to it a pejorative meaning also.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right. Margaret Hamilton in The Wizard of Oz.
Yes, yes, thank you very much.
The wicked witch from
yeah,
the...
Right.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, when people ask me about... When I ask people, you know, what do you think of when you hear the word crone, they say things like ugly, dried up, mm-hmm. withered, gross, mm-hmm. old.
All right, so you're giving models for women, we'll admit, all three of which have negative...
Yes.
But what's the
Why?
Positive that you're
Why?
Using
this is
for these?
The ver- This is the very reason that I use those words. Those three words have been used throughout the ages to denigrate women, mm-hmm. and in a very real sense, to keep women in their place, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean. Now, I want to stop here and say just for a moment, this book is not a feminist rant.
That's for sure. That is absolutely for sure.
Thank you. It's not a manifesto or anything like that. I'm thoroughly in favor of men. But what I wanted to do is take these three words and use them differently, because when I thought about each of the kinds of women who tend to get labeled with any or all of those words, what I had to realize was there are gifts inherent in each of those.
Yes.
Now, the women who, and in the book, as you have noticed through reading it, the archetypes, bitch, crone, and harlot, I use capital letters on. But when I talk about the everyday garden variety bitch, crone, or harlot, I use the small letters. And the garden variety bitch doesn't use her gifts well, but the gifts are there. The gifts of the bitch are power and possibility. The bitch, even the garden variety bitch, the one that people swear at and point out behind her back and say mean things about, she is very likely a woman who uses her gifts with a self-serving agenda, which is not healthy. But the gifts are there anyway. The bitch is a woman who can make things happen, who can create change, who knows how to shake things up when they need to be shaken up. The archetypal bitch does it without the self-serving agenda.
Okay, so we've got the positive for one of them, and our listeners out there are going to have to wait all the way through our commercials, although they're very interesting, to hear the positives of the other two. So we'll be right back in just a minute. You're listening to Third Age. I'm Dr. Peter Brill.
Listen to Beauty Now, the intersection of cosmetic surgery, longevity, and biomedical innovation for confident decisions in preventative aging on personallifemedia.com.
Wake up.
We're
back. Here we are. It's the Third Age with Dr. Peter Brill, the doctor, and the man from Hollywood, me, David Devin. Marissa Scobasi and Lisa are here, and we're talking to Susan Shackerly, who wrote a fabulous book called The Bitch, the Crone, and the Harlot. And just before we go on, where do we get this book? How do we get this book? Susan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. It's in all the bookstores.
Uh-huh.
And
online?
And it's also available through Amazon.
Great. I hope you're selling a lot of copies of it.
Thank you. We're excited about it.
Good. Peter,
Well, we just wanted to finish up the other two terms.
Right.
What's positive and negative?
We got bitch down now.
Sure.
David's having trouble getting off that term. But we're going to move on now, David, to crone.
Well, the gifts of the crone are wisdom and insight. This is the woman who at midlife has reached a depth of wisdom that is literally not available in the first half of life. And the gifts of the harlot are passion and awareness. And this isn't just sexual passion, although I'm certainly in favor of that. This is passion in general, passion about being alive and a depth of awareness that makes the harlot more informed, better informed than the people around her.
This may sound self-serving, but I read recent articles showing increased longevity with more frequent sexual intercourse and a benefit to the immune system, the immunoglobulins.
I'm all for it.
So frequent sex, you know, the harlot out there. Okay.
Frequent good sex.
Good sex. Okay. Yeah. Frequent good sex. That's a good addition. All right.
Thank you.
So let's take Dorothy for example, because you and I see lots and lots of Dorothys out there. So let's
talk to
them.
Sure.
Dorothy's this lady who's, you know, she goes to her, she's always been nurturing and supportive. You remember that?
Yes.
From your book? Tell us the story.
Well, Dorothy came in to see me because she was 58 when she came in to see me. And she had really begun to feel, in her own words, old and invisible. She said that she figured she wasn't really of much value anymore because of her age and her role in life. And her children, although she loved them and they loved her and all that, they really had begun to treat her as, almost like a piece of furniture, you know, only really noticing her when they needed something from her. And Dorothy really wanted to be okay with feeling invisible and unimportant. And as we worked together, she came in and asked if I could help her feel better about being treated this way by her children, and I said, no, I cannot. But I can help you learn how to live differently so your children treat you with the respect you deserve. And as we worked together, she was a wonderfully nurturing woman, very kind, very giving and generous. But she had put herself on the back burner for most of her life. As I said in the book, she was almost 60 years old and still in many respects unformed. She'd never really given herself permission to express her opinions or her preferences or her desires, and certainly had not given herself permission to live them. This is a woman who was in pretty desperate need of what I call in the book bitch energy, which again is not bitch with a small b. This is the energy that moves forward and makes things happen.
Powering yourself,
absolutely.
Owning your own power, owning your own effectiveness, getting out there and getting stuff done, impacting on other people, but always with compassion and realism.
Exactly right. Without that self-serving agenda that happens so often in the first part of life.
So you describe, you describe in your book, she finally goes to the family gatherings and people, you know, start interrupting her and she pushes back.
That's right, and it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. She had been at a family gathering, as you said. Her children had interrupted her, as they always had, as if she wasn't particularly important to listen to, and she spoke up. And she told them they were no longer allowed to interrupt her. They had to treat her with respect from that point on. And, I mean, this is a great, a huge
What if she
shock.
Loses her children? What if her children won't tolerate this?
Well, you know, first of all, rarely, I think, do you lose your children. It's one of the reasons children can act out toward their parents, because parents aren't going to divorce them. And the same thing with mothers and their children. But, you know, Peter, the other point here is that in regaining herself, she filled a huge gap in her own spirit, in her own soul. And from that point, she actually was perceived differently by her children.
And valued more.
And valued a great deal more.
Let's see if we can get one more in before the break. We'll do it quickly. Shauna, who is a lady who always used her sexuality to get...
Absolutely. Yeah, Shauna was...
Kind of quickly, you know, a minute or two.
Okay. Shauna, as you said, had always used her sexual power to get what she wanted. She had no real sense of her own value as a person aside from the way she looked and how seductive she had learned to be. The thing is, she continued doing that as she moved into her 50s. And, you know, what seems sexy and seductive and flirty when you're 22 doesn't quite seem that same way when you're 50. And she continued wearing more and more seductive clothing, more and more makeup, that sort of thing, trying to recapture the sense of her power that she had gotten earlier in life from her sexuality. This was a woman who had been terribly afraid to explore herself, to face her own inner being, and had a lot of fear about what she would find if she really looked at herself and the deeper aspects of herself. So her perception of herself was very sad and very limited. As we worked together, this woman took on a very different kind of energy that allowed her to present herself to the world as a woman with much deeper things to offer than simply her cleavage. And as a result of her beginning to recognize those deeper things in herself, the people around her began to recognize her as a much deeper being, and her relationships changed entirely.
Well, that's wonderful. Maybe we can start the last one, which is, what's her name, Dolores?
Dolores. Dolores was a really fascinating person to work with. Dolores was a well-educated woman at a very high level in a corporate structure. She had an MBA, had started out very young, about 24 years old, or 23 perhaps, with her MBA, had really been a golden child. And early in her career, in her early 20s, when she got started, she was young and cute and perky and flirty and all those things. And she had the MBA and a lot of ambition. And she was regarded as an intriguing sort of a challenge in that corporate structure. However, as she got older and her cute and flirty persona no longer worked, she dug in her heels and worked very hard at ruling with an iron fist, thinking that she could regain what she had regarded as respect from earlier in her career, which really hadn't so much been respect as just intrigue. She worked very hard to push away her own feminine inclinations. And what I mean by that is the unique way in which women lead, and was trying hard to lead the same way men lead, but trying to do it with this same sort of reaction that she got when she was young and cute and wore miniskirts.
Okay, we're going to have to figure out what happened to Dolores after a break here. I just want to ask the people that are listening, the women that are listening to this show, do you recognize yourself in any of these women? Do you recognize your lifetime in any of these women? Are any of these issues in you or your mother or people that you know? Aren't these life patterns that women follow? We're going to talk after we get back about what to do about this. We'll hear the end of Dolores. You're listening to The Third Age. I'm Dr. Peter Bill.
Hi, this is Renee Stevens, host of Inside Out Weight Loss. If you want to be a thin person, you have to learn how to think like one. Learn how on my weekly show that aligns mind, body, and spirit for lasting change. Find me on iTunes or at personallifemedia.com. That's Inside Out Weight Loss, how to think like a thin person on personallifemedia.com.
Hi, we're back. Third Age, David Devin here, a man from Hollywood, with Dr. Peter Grill and Marissa Scobasi. We are talking to Susan Schachter, who's written a book called The Bitch, the Crone, and the Harlot. Susan is director of the Ahimsa Group, and she believes that we've only scratched the surface of the power and possibility inherent in the human mind and heart. And we were just hearing the story of Dolores, which Peter had introduced, and Susan was telling us about.
We heard all about Dolores, so what did you do for her? Hello? But you got to put her on.
She's still on hold.
She's still on hold there. You can't speak until they push the button. Susan.
Are you back, Susan?
I'm here.
I'm back.
This is actually a very professional operation. We actually are working out of a van in the desert.
And the police were chasing us for
right,
a license.
Right.
So tell us about what did you do for her?
Well, the issue for Dolores was learning to integrate personal power. Let me just say quickly that women tend to focus on connection and relationship. Men tend to focus on information and action. Dolores had tried to put her natural inclination toward connection on hold and had tried to function the way she saw successful men functioning. That can never work for a female. We have our own brand of power, and we must learn to step into it. That's what Dolores needed to do, to integrate that personal power with compassion and to create a kind of a balance in her life that was absolutely unwavering. So as we worked together, she was able to begin to see that that her entire lifetime, her behavior, especially on the job, had really been shaped by a great sorrow and a great loneliness, and she was working hard to hide those things by pushing people around. We worked together to help her access that inclination to connect and to create relationship, and to first and foremost create relationship with herself, which she had never done.
That's great.
As a result of the work that we did, and she worked very hard.
She's
and
running
we only
for president now, right?
Change the names, and that could be. In any event, we worked together. She worked very hard. We had a brief period of time within which to do our work, and the transformation in her was absolutely extraordinary. I mentioned in the book that in our final meeting together, she actually called in the people in her department and asked their forgiveness for having been an unkind and intolerant manager.
That's
and
wonderful.
Asked them to help her develop her compassion and her wisdom more deeply. It was an extraordinary and very moving meeting that she had with these folks, and she asked me to be there. It was a thorough transformation, and it happened when she was able to create, as I said earlier, relationship with herself and then embrace the female inclination toward connection and relationship.
David, you had something you wanted to...
Well, I'm just wondering, very honestly, or as honestly as you want to be, when women at this stage of life go through these radical changes, and it's sort of like a metamorphosis where they come out fully formed in the most positive way, that doesn't mean that their partner or the person in their relationship is going to change as well. It's often a lot harder to get a man to change or understand this kind of thing. So how have you found in all the women that you've worked with, on the whole, their relationships have fared?
And you know, I'm sorry. It's a very interesting question. I'm glad that you brought that up, because you're absolutely right. When one part of a relationship begins to change, there is always that risk that the other part will not be able to adjust to the change. What I have found pretty consistently, David, is that when women go through these transformations, if they will use their wisdom to be a living role model for the kinds of changes and transformations that are possible in life, it makes it much easier for their partners to understand and explore and accept those changes than if the woman begins preaching transformation. Am I
yeah,
clear
if she
here?
Takes herself so seriously that it turns into, as you once said, I don't know, you use the word self-aggrandizing, you self-referential, however, if it turns into that kind of person that she needs to be a proselytizer for her particular kind of change, then it does. It's going to put everybody off, I think.
That's exactly right. I was working with a couple recently where the woman kept telling her husband that he needed to do something in the area of personal growth. She was doing hers, he needed to do his. And he was resisting, you know, 100%. And as soon as she realized the importance of simply releasing that and living her life as a living, breathing, dynamic example of personal growth, he began seeking his own growth.
But sometimes that doesn't.
But that
work
doesn't. See, yeah. I'm thinking, Susan. I'm thinking in terms of the woman who became who was invisible most of her life,
yeah.
The people pleaser, who began to reach into herself and find herself and assert herself as who she really was with her power. A man and a family who have been trained by her and have trained her to act in this way over all these years, are they really going, is he, let's say the children are a different thing, let's say, is her husband after all that time really going to accept that change and try and live with it?
You know, I think it depends on so many factors, David. It depends on the nature of their relationship and how they have come to relate to each other over the years. It also has a great deal to do with with the kind of man we're talking about and how secure or insecure he might be. And it has to do, I think, in great, great part with the wisdom the woman uses in how she manifests these changes. When she can manifest them with great wisdom and with great compassion for the people around her who are confused at who she seems to be becoming, then she can manifest these changes in ways that are easier for these people to understand and to not be threatened by.
You know, I one of the things I like most about what she says in this book is the fact that you marry together power and compassion.
Very
important.
Because
power without compassion is brutality.
Exactly.
And compassion without power is being inept.
That's exactly right. And with the two together, we can accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished on the planet. And there is so much that needs to be accomplished, and so much that will and can only be accomplished or can be accomplished primarily by women.
Yep. Are you voting for Hillary, Susan?
Well, you know, I'm not talking about that, David, but I'll tell you what.
Yes.
And if Hillary's listening, I want her to pay attention.
Good.
I would love to meet with her and talk about her leadership style.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. You can't.
And if you did, where was where?
Yeah, what would you say to her?
Yeah, where is she? Harlot, bitch, or crone?
What would you say to her?
Well, I would urge her to more and more deeply explore her own feminine power, rather than manifesting power the way her husband manifested it, or the way the men around her manifest it. She has her own unique gift,
yes.
And if she were to step deeply into that, it would be world-changing.
Let me just one more time. It's called The Bitch, The Crone, and The Harlot. I get, you know, nervous every time I say it, but
you're sweating.
I'm sweating. You can find it at the at bookstores or at Amazon.com. We want to thank you, Susan, for being on the show today. It's a wonderful book, and you're obviously a very talented counselor.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the invitation to be here.
We'll be right back, folks.
Listen to Living Green, Effortless Ecology for Everyday People, a weekly online audio program featuring champions of sustainable living at personallifemedia.com.
You're back, we're back, we're all back, everybody's back. It's the Third Age, and I'm the man from Hollywood.
He can't stand it without
you. And the doctor, Dr. Peter Brill, is here with me, and what kind of music do they play for doctors? Pomp and Prejudice? Da, 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 da,
no, that's da, the da, president.
Da. Oh, that's... Oh, good! Thank you, Jaron. Perfect. That's absolutely perfect. The doctor is not flatlining at this moment.
My heart's still beating. You can hear it.
Which brings us to...
Or maybe yours is. I don't know who...
Is my heart beating? I can't tell. I'm breathing, but I don't know if my heart is beating.
So were we going to have like an intro to...
Well, we're going to talk... We're getting into the little thing that we want to do on our show to encourage everybody, which is our segment called I Won't Back Down.
And I won't back down.
Remember, you won't back down. Let's hear that one more time so you don't forget.
And I won't back down.
I want you to say that to yourself when it comes time to make the changes that are going to make your life better. And that are going to make you better. And no matter who's in your way, or who tells you you can't do it, or who tells you you're too old, or who tells you you're too stupid, or whatever it is.
Including yourself.
Including yourself. Right. You've got to turn around and say to that person, or look in the mirror and say to yourself, I won't back down.
From the challenges of life, from the challenges of myself. You know, the learning I had from today, David, was, you know, what the question I'd ask you to think about out there is, what roles do you play? in your life? What, you're the mother, you're the this, you're the pleaser, you're the what? What role do you, the sexual seductress, or are you the person who's so, the achiever, or is the one everybody depends on? And how do you play them? What do you use to play them? And in what ways are those roles that you've been playing in your life successful? What success have they brought you? And to what extent are they in your way? What ways are they not successful for you? Because I think that's what we don't often think about. What our greatest strength sometimes is our greatest weakness. And it's only by filling in spaces where we have strengths, but we don't think about the weaknesses they bring about us, sometimes that our growth occurs.
I do love, that's very true, and I do love in the book where she differentiates the different words with a capital and a non-capital, and tells us the good side of it, the downside side of what that is, and also but has inherent possibilities that you can use and turn around and bring yourself up into the good side of whatever that is. But it's not easy, you know. I don't know if you can do it on your own. I don't know if you can do it on your own.
And thus we have some groups for people in our area in Santa Barbara, 969-9794. Or you can visit our website, www.thirdagefoundation.com. I'd like to thank Jaron Pilz.
Les Carroll.
Lisa.
I'd like to thank...
What's your last name?
Headley, Lisa Headley.
That's right, Lisa Headley.
I'd like to thank my agent at William Morris for getting me the gig.
And tune in next time for the Third Age. This is Dr. Peter Bell.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.